Thank you. Please hold while we validate your conference ID. Thank you. Please hold while we validate your conference ID. Conference ID accepted. You will now be placed into conference.
Finish up answering all of your questions that we had from Monday's teleseminar. So I'm going to go through all of these, and if we're going to bring on Ed back on the call later here to answer all the ones that we couldn't get done. So that being said, let's jump right back into them. Gary in Las Vegas, Nevada, asks about, he says, number one, several other short courses are for sale. Why is yours? He asked a bunch of questions, so I'll do them one at a time. Number one is several other short sale courses are for sale. Why is yours better? Gary, I love our course because it's very formulaic. It's step-by-step. It's easy to follow. We give you the opportunity to outsource all of your short sales. So if you want to, you don't have to do them yourself. We give you access to a title company that will do deals in all 50 states. We give you access to a funding company that will close deals with no LTV restrictions. So we really lay it out for you step-by-step. It's very easy. It's a very inexpensive course to get started. Number two, you write, suggested marketing money to budget money. So I guess you're asking me what kind of marketing budget you need. I mean, obviously, the bigger the marketing budget you have, the better. We discuss some specific ways that you can get going, but I think realistically, if you can set aside a minimum of $1,000 a month to do some direct mail, you're going to see some killer return on investment. You then write, any conflicts with running a short sale biz 20 hours a week versus a wholesale biz 20 hours a week? I don't think there's any conflict there. I actually think they go hand in hand. I think you're going to want to wholesale some of your short sale deals. I think that wholesaling is a good way for you to make some smaller checks to tide you over until you cash in on some of those really big short sale deals. And you write, is 20 hours a week dedicated to this in general realistic to make it happen or not? I think it's absolutely realistic if it's a legitimate solid 20 hours that you're dedicating. There's no reason, especially if you're outsourcing the short sales, because that takes up a huge chunk of time. That really frees up a lot of your time. So I absolutely think it's realistic. And then you're right, please explain how an investor, not a realtor, actually flips a property. Well, I'll answer this from the perspective of short sale flip. Again, if you're using the option contracts like we teach you to in the short sale formula, that gives you the legal right to go ahead and market that property to anybody else that you want to, and really what you're doing is lining up buyers and just waiting on getting that approval done. So if you're working smart and using our outsourced short sale company, you're going to get those done and be able to close those and flip them. So moving on to the next question. Let's see here. Larry in New York City writes, how can I target Litton or Home EQ delinquent loans? It's actually pretty difficult to target by lender, Larry. I'll be very honest with you. It's the type of thing where if you're getting a lot of leads coming across your desk, the only thing that I can possibly suggest to you is if you look into some of the 60- and 90-day late companies, some of those might have lender data available for you to purchase, but otherwise it can be, you know, a bit more difficult. Don in Jacksonville writes, how do you move them? Because I had five of them and no buyers for 4 months. I took them under contract at $200,000 and the ARV was $295,000. Don, I would tell you, if you haven't tried this already, I'm not sure what techniques you used. We've had a lot of success selling properties with auctions. So if you haven't tried doing an auction, a round-robin auction, where you start off really low and you bring the price up, I think that's a fantastic way to sell a property, and I would strongly to encourage you to look into that. Nate in Phoenix writes, how much do you charge for short sales? What is the process from A to Z in turnaround time to contact lender from submitting file? Okay, Nate, number one, the price for anybody who takes advantage of the short sale formula, you pay $2,500 per successfully negotiated short sale. That being said, that's whether it's one lien, two liens, five liens, ten liens, it doesn't matter, it's a flat fee. Your second part is, what is the process from A to Z and turnaround time to contact lender from submitting file? I'm not 100% sure that I understand your question. The process from A to Z is really spelled out for you in the short sale formula. The turnaround time to getting a file closed could be anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months. It really depends. The more organized you are on the front end, though, the easier and faster you can get it done. Moving along here. Bob in Cincinnati writes, hi, how much time after getting the short sale amount approved by the lender do you get to market and sell to end buyer? Thanks. You know what, Bob, we'll hold on and we'll ask that question of Ed because I think that's a good one for Ed. Okay, Ash Silva in Toronto writes, I'm a real estate investor from Canada. Two questions, please. As a real estate investor, the term short sale only recently crossed my radar. Is this a new system for real estate investing? How can short sale benefit Canadians? I'm connected to many real estate investors through RIA clubs and my own JV partners. What can we bring them? Okay, Ash. Well, question number one, short sales, they might be newer, but it's not like it's something that's just come out of the clouds. I mean, lenders have been doing them for a while now, and certainly, obviously, with the foreclosure problem that we have here in the United States, it's a big, big problem, and there's tremendous opportunity. As far as how can short sales benefit Canadians, I guess what you mean is as a Canadian investor. And what I would tell you is that you can absolutely be investing in short sales. What I would recommend, though, is I noticed you're in Toronto. I would pick an area close to the border that you have easy access to for your properties. But there's no difference as far as you go. If you're using the option contracting, go ahead and assigning those properties. Now, if you're not doing an option contract and you're going to close on them yourself, then you're going to have to look into getting funding. Let's see here. Moving right along. Dan in Charlotte writes, how do you manage to control the sale of a property when you have it listed on the MLS? I can find a listing agent, but the problem is the buyer's agent and how they will perceive the transaction. Once the agent sees the owner of record, they are likely to kill the deal. Dan, if you use an option contract, it'll clearly spell out in there that you can legally have a legal interest in the property and that you have an option on it and that you can sell it. So I'm not quite sure why the buyer's agent's trying to kill the deal, especially when they're motivated to get a closing done and move on and get that deal done. Let's see here. Billy in South Florida writes, what is the best way to get end buyers? Should it be owner, occupant, or investor? Here in Florida, investors are just not buying. Good question, Billy. You should always be working on building up your buyers list. I'm a big fan of using the internet to do that. As far as selling, I prefer to sell to the owner-occupant because, like you said, for investors, they're going to have to get such a great deal. Sometimes it's difficult to negotiate them down that low. Somebody else asked about this before. I would tell you to look into the auctions. Like I said before, we'd have a lot of success with auctions, especially because you could start low. You can always put in the terms of your auction that it's subject to bank approval of the short sale, so you're sort of covering your butt there, and I think auctions are a great way to really build up a lot of interest. Let's see here. David in Vancouver, Washington writes, I have three homes that a friend is going to short sale. He's giving me first shot at getting them. I don't have much money, about $40,000. How can I get the homes and sell them before I start making payments on them? David, I'm not quite sure I'm following your question with respect to your friend, I guess, is in the short sale and you want to be the investor. What you can do is you can negotiate the short sale for him, get an option contract, and then you can market those and sell those, and you can do that all while the short sale is going on, so there would be no payments to make, if I'm understanding your question. Newbie Homes in Detroit, Michigan writes, what exactly is a short sale? Newbie, a short sale is when the lender agrees to take a discount off of the amount owed on the loan. So in other words, if the loan balance is $200,000, the lender might say, you know what, for $160,000, we'll make the loan go away, and we'll take $160,000 instead of the full $200,000 that's owed to us. So they're taking a short sale or a short payoff, okay? And it's something that the lender does voluntarily. They do not have to do it. Rhonda in Denver writes, since last Monday, I heard back-to-backs are not allowed with certain lenders. Are you finding that? Certain programs, Rhonda, definitely, for example, FHA. So you absolutely want to be upfront with the with the end buyer's lender and say, look, this is how we're structuring the transaction. Can you do this? As I mentioned earlier, we're working on getting some approved lenders that we're going to put into the formula, and as soon as we get that, we will be able to do that. Let's see here. CJ in Williamsburg writes, what are the steps to do a short sale in a short state like Virginia? Do you have a website or address other than your home? Do you have to have a website or address other than your home to get started? Can you start without an LLC in place? Okay, let's go one at a time here. The steps to do a short sale in a short state like Virginia. We started all our investing in Virginia. You can absolutely do it. The easiest thing to do is to do some marketing like a website where you're going to attract people earlier in the process, not necessarily when they've only got 3 or 4 weeks left. So I would be trying to do some marketing that would attract homeowners likely to be behind on payments and help them out. The next question is, do you have a website? Do you have to have a website or address other than your home to get started? No, you can absolutely use your home address. And the last one is, can you start without an LLC in place? Yes, you absolutely can. You can buy these properties in your own individual name. Let's see. Billy in South Florida writes, do you have a short sale flyer for me to give to realtors? I'm actually going to be working on something new here, Billy, and as soon as it's done, everybody in the short sale formula will be getting a copy of it, so bear with me there. Nothing specific today, though. Billy in South Florida has another question, which is there usually enough profit in the short sale to pay a realtor on both double closings? You would have to make sure, Billy, that there is, and yes, usually there is. The lender's going to, you know, specify that, and obviously if that doesn't work out, you know, then it's not going to be a deal for you. But yes, many, 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 many times it's easy to get that much. Okay, Randy in Denver writes, I came in late, but to Ed, what is the cost of your outsource service? Randy, just to recap, it's $2,500 per short sale. And again, that doesn't matter how many liens are against the property. Ralph in Little Rock says, doing a short sale, what document do I need to provide to a real estate agent that says I'm authorized to do the deal? Well, we love using the option contract, and we take the option contract, and we get that recorded at the courthouse. Again, that's all explained in Module 3. And that clearly spells out to the agent that that gives you authority to market the property and act on the owner's behalf. Rob in Macon, Georgia writes, what legal entity is best to form to start doing short sales and why? Rob, I wouldn't want to say because I'm not an attorney, so I can't tell you what's the best legal entity. I can tell you that our personal real estate investing company in Washington State is an LLC. But as far as you and your specific needs, I honestly don't know. I would tell you to go ahead, you know, and ask a local attorney in your area and tell you what he did, what direction you should take that. Remy in New York asks, are lenders letting you assign contracts? Remy, I would say you never have a problem assigning a contract as long as the person that you're assigning it to can pay all cash and close with all cash. Robert in Henderson, Nevada asks, do you have to pay a transfer tax if you do a simultaneous closing via versus an option closing? I don't know what the specific laws are in Nevada vis-a-vis transfer tax, but I know that in an option you have two separate distinct transactions, so you have to pay two separate distinct sets of closing costs. I don't know how many people are still doing the simultaneous, so you want to be careful there. So I would tell you to go in and ask, you know, your title company. Obviously, we're doing the option contracts, which are two distinct separate contracts, which might cost you a little bit more, but they are 100 times easier to close. Jay in Clifton Park writes, if the realtor brings you the deal on the A side, so in the first transaction, okay, and they have the end buyer, C, on the second side, me being B, the middle guy, do I have to do a title search? Jay, absolutely you want to do a title search just to protect yourself. It makes sense. Because even if you don't do one thinking, well, it's not going to affect me because I'm not the end buyer, isn't it better to find out now if there's something that's going to blow it up rather than having the your end buyer do the title search and finding out that the deal dies there? Larry in New York writes, Justin, how do you pay for a lead from a mortgage broker? How much for a lost mitt? How much have you closed the short sale from lead? Larry, I pay these guys, my offer is $1,000 for every house that I buy. So I pay $1,000 for every house that I buy. And I would just write him a check, would be how I would pay him. Eleanor Smith writes, why is it that loan modification is costing homeowners over $3,000 when the value of the property has gone down? Why is it that the poor always seems to be the one who's paying? Well, you bring up a very valid question, Eleanor, and I'll answer a couple different things. Number one, why does it cost the homeowner money? Well, the person doing the loan modification probably is not a nonprofit. They're probably a for-profit business, and they need to live as well and earn an income. What's a more interesting point is what you bring up is when the value of the property has gone down. And here's what I would tell everybody to ask them. If you're talking to a homeowner and the value of their property has gone down and they're upside down, you need to help that homeowner and say, look, why do you want to keep this house? To Eleanor's point, why would you pay? Let me give you an example. Let's say the homeowner bought a house for $300,000, and when they bought it, it was appraised to $300,000. And let's say the market has gone down now, and the house is only worth $250,000, and including all back payments and everything, they owe about $310,000. Why would you want to keep that property? You're $60,000 upside down. So to Eleanor's point, why would you do that and pay $3,000 to try and save that? I think that part of the job as a real estate investor is to educate that homeowner and say, look, I know you might be attached to your home, but, you know, honestly, you want to think about it, Mr. Homeowner. Is this your dream home? Could you possibly envision yourself living somewhere else or having a home that you like better? Why? And you need to show them the mathematics. Hey, look, if the home's worth $250,000 and we assume it appreciates 5% a year and we don't even use compound, just simple interest, that's, you know, $12,500 a year, it's going to take 5 years just to get back to even. And then they've got a cross even if they were going to sell using a realtor. It's not a good investment a lot of times, and they'd be much better off doing a short sale. Next question is Sam and Macon. How does the mortgage broker get paid for their leads? Samar, you would just pay them. So you would have a gentleman's agreement saying, I'm going to pay you for every lead that you send over to me. Nick in Las Vegas writes, does the course cover what to do with the mortgage broker leads and how to profit from them even if there's not a short sale there? Nick, it actually doesn't, but I'm going to be doing some new stuff here in the very near future on that. So stay tuned, stay patient, and I'll have some stuff out for everybody who picks up a copy. Justin, how do I find someone to buy them? I spoke with the investor here, and they say no one is buying. We talked about this before, guys. I think auction is a fantastic way to do it. And also, I would continue to build my buyers list. Always, always, always be building my buyers list. Where can I find a legal agreement? Robin in Minneapolis, Iowa. In Minneapolis, Iowa writes, where can I find a legal agreement form to use for a private money lender that indicates we have continued to use their investment money and paid them 10% a year on it? We had previously given the principal and interest back, and all they would invest with. So I guess you're saying, where would you find the legal agreement form to do private money? In the past, whenever we've used private money, we've always had the title company draw it up. So they've drawn up a promissory note, a deed, and a note, and they've taken care of it, and that's worked beautifully for us. So I would ask your title company who's doing the closing or funding the transaction. Let's see here. Gil in Marysville, Washington writes, how do you hide your name using options instead of using a land trust? Gil, you don't really hide your name using an option, so I'm not quite sure what you're talking about there. So, we only use options, not land trusts. In options, you can use your company name, certainly, if you want to. Let's see here. Dean in Hoffman Estates, Illinois asks, what does the service cost? Again, Dean, it's $2,500 per successfully negotiated short sale. Let's keep going here. What to do, Billy in South Florida? A lot of questions, Billy, but that's good. That's good. What to do if my partner got a short sale accepted but was not good enough? Can I renegotiate for a better deal? Absolutely. I mean, you know, if they tell you that's the number, you've got to do it where it works for you. So you need to go ahead, you know, and make that, you know, work for you. So you can absolutely go back and go ahead and renegotiate. Let's see here. JP in Arizona writes, is there a way to automate to get cash buyers to purchase your short sale contracts true without getting a loan? JP, there is. You need an outstanding list of investors, and you also have to get really huge, massive discounts. They're going to want to get those properties, you know, 50 cents on the dollar, but absolutely you can do that. Okay, hold on. We've got some more questions here. I'm just going through them because some of these I'm saving for when Eddie gets on the line. Mark and Brighton writes, are you having any issues with first lien holders in assigning contracts to a third party? I think we answered this one before, sort of, Mark. But again, the answer is not if you're if the person is using all cash to close on that property. Bill in Phoenix writes, if you can't find a buyer in time for a back-to-back, what do you do when you get stuck with the property you can't sell? I can run an ad in newspaper, free ones, or the pay ones, said the symbol. Okay. What do you do when you get stuck with a property you can't sell? Well, Bill, I would say going into it, that's a great question, and you want to ask yourself that. What do you want to do? If you can't sell it, but it's still a good deal, are you in a position to do a buy and hold? If you are, I would tell you this is an absolutely tremendous time to be doing buy and hold real estate. This is one of the greatest real estate buying opportunities in a long time. Now, if you're not in a position to do a buy and hold, then you really want to think about, well, before you even submit that short sale, what would I do if this scenario happened and came up? Again, going back to it, I always love doing auctions because in the worst case scenario, you can run the auction, and even if the auction price isn't enough, you can go back and say, look, this is the real true market value of this property we did a round robin auction, and this is where it ended up. So that would be another good exit strategy. Let's see. Okay, Tiffany Hamilton in New Jersey writes, what are some do's and don'ts when meeting with a homeowner facing foreclosure for the first time? What are some tactics used in making homeowners feel comfortable working with you in a short sale? All great questions, Tiffany. So let's talk about this for a second. As far as making a homeowner feel comfortable, usually one of my favorite tactics to do is to build rapport with the homeowner. And the way that I like to build rapport is to maybe find out something specific that you can actually have a conversation about with them that you know about. So maybe where are you from? Maybe, and if they're from an area where you're familiar with, you can talk to them about that special area. How long have you lived in the area? You could certainly talk to them about that. You know, big family, small family, children, no children, anything to do that they might be interested in. Anything that they have an interest in that you can see you would have a common interest in, maybe it's a sports team, music, really anything where you can make a connection with them where you know, think of it as if you were meeting them out at a social event or a party and you started talking to them and you were generally interested in talking about some common interests. That's a great way to do that. As far as do's and don'ts go, you do want to be honest with them. You want to tell them that there's no guarantee that the short sale is going to go through. You don't want to lie to them. You don't ever want to lie to anybody about this. You know, you want to be honest. You do want to feel confident, though. One of my favorite things that I like to tell people, this is a good one, you might want to write this down, is I like saying to the homeowners in distress, I like saying, Mr. Homeowner, I cannot sit here and look you in the eye and promise you 100% that the short sale will be approved because the lender has the ultimate control over that, not me. However, I will tell you that I'm not out here, you know, because I have nothing else better to do, And I wouldn't be out here if I didn't firmly believe that we have an excellent chance of getting this short sale approved. And I think that's a great thing to say to a homeowner, because you're being absolutely honest, and it's going to inspire confidence in them. And that's the way you should feel. You shouldn't be out on a deal if you don't think that you can get it done. You know, you can talk to them about the team. If you're a short sale formula client, you can talk to them about the team that you have behind you who do all the negotiations, and you specialize in meeting with the homeowners. Those are some of the biggest, do's and don'ts. Obviously, there's other things that are just like common business courtesy, you know, get there on time, be polite, shake their hand. One thing I always like to do is when I arrive, I always like to say, how much time do you have available set aside? I would always go through and have a look around the property. I would always take pictures of the property. I would ask them to point out anything that's not particularly any repairs or anything like that that need to be done to the property. So all of those things all go sort of, hand in hand with as far as what you're doing on the appointment, building confidence. With them. Oh, here's a big one. If it's a husband and wife team, you absolutely have to make sure that both parties are going to be there. I would not recommend going out of meeting if only the husband or only the wife is going to be there. You absolutely want to meet with both parties. But that's a great question, Tiffany. Billy in South Florida writes, can I use the end buyer's funds to complete the back-to-back closing without me getting a loan? Absolutely, Billy. That's exactly what doing a back-to-back closing is. Miles writes, is your company doing work in Southern California? We are absolutely doing work in Southern California, Miles. Lee in Lawrenceville, Georgia writes, what is transactional funding? Great question. Transactional funding is, in the short sale formula, we talk about in Module 3 doing a back-to-back closing, which are two separate and distinct transactions where A sells to B and B sells to C. A is the homeowner in distress, B is you, the investor, and C is the end buyer. So what happens is that the reason that that back-to-back closings work is that there are two transactions, A selling to B, which is the homeowner in distress selling to you, the investor. The transactional funding is what funds that transaction from A to B. And the reason it's called transactional funding is because the money that they provide is literally only gone for a matter of a few hours, because what instantly happens is as soon as A, the homeowner in distress, sells to B, the investor, that money is instantly repaid when the investor B turns around and sells it to C, the end buyer. So it's transactional funding that's only... it's not a loan because the money is only being used to fund a transaction. The money is paid back within a matter of hours. Let's see here. Just going through here. Dean in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, right? What do you suggest to overcome the proof of funds approval letter when the investor's credit and or funds won't allow him to get a conventional proof of funds approval letter? Super easy to answer, Dean. All of the transactional funding companies, including the one that we provide you with in Module 3 of the short sale formula, give you funding letters. So they'll give you approval of funds letter, and they've got millions and millions of dollars of access to such. Absolutely no problem. Nick writes, how much time under an option do we have to find an end buyer? Well, Nick, really, until you have as much time as you have to get the approval, and then however long once you get the approval, the lender will allow you to delay out the closing. So, you know, sometimes once you get an approval letter, you can push it out 30, 45 days. Dave in Vancouver, Washington writes, are there any seasoning issues that may arise from the end buyer's mortgage company when you do transactional closings? Dave, there absolutely are, which is why you want to bring that up to that mortgage company right at the beginning and say, look, this is the type of transaction that I'm doing. Seasoning is going to be an issue. Do you have a loan or a lender who can handle this? So you absolutely, there can be, which is why you want to bring that up at the beginning. Rom writes, how do we contact Ed for outsourcing a short sale? Rom, it's easy. You get the short sale formula. Go to theshortsaleformula.com and pick up your copy. Let's see here. Ron in Albuquerque, New Mexico writes, Justin, on leads from mortgage brokers, how can they legally give you information without the homeowner's permission? Great question, Ron. They need to get the homeowner's permission. So what I do with my mortgage brokers is I'll go to them, and when I tee it up, say, look, when you tell this homeowner you cannot help them, what you want to say, and I would give them a script even that says, you know, hey, Mr. Homeowner, unfortunately, I can't help you get this refinance done. However, what I can do is refer you to somebody who can talk to you about some other options that might be available to you since you're behind on payments. Would you like me to put them in touch with you? So you're just getting permission, and then you can have them distribute the information directly to them and give them your contact info and then have it delivered to you as well. Roger in Aubendale writes, what is the coupon code for bonus number one? Roger, it's actually delivered to you electronically once you've purchased. So if you're having problems with that still, you can email support@theshortsaleformula.com. Nick in Las Vegas writes, with the exception of bonuses, do we get a support system of any sort if we have questions? Yeah, Nick, absolutely. When you're outsourcing your short sales, Ed's company is there to answer all of your questions and can help you walk through any of those deals that he's working on with you. George, Minnesota writes, what are the volume trends for short sales? Is the volume of short sales expected to go up or go down? No one really knows, George. The reports that I've seen, the studies I've seen, say that foreclosures are going to max out at the end of 2009. So if you think that means logically next year will be the biggest year ever for short sales, which means it's a tremendous time to get involved. James in Pittsburgh, PA writes, how is the payment plan broken down, $249, and how much next and when? Yeah, great question, James. You pay $249 now, and then you pay another $249 30 days from now. Miles in Acton, California writes, is your transactional funding another name for hard money? What are the costs approximately? Great questions, Miles. Number one, transactional funding is not hard money. Transactional funding is not a loan. They're providing funding for a transaction, and they're recouping their money within a matter of hours. So it's not a loan whatsoever. And the cost, I can tell you the cost. The cost is exactly 2 points for transactional funding, significantly less than hard money. JP in Arizona writes, what is recasting of a loan? How does that work? JP, basically what that is that's when a lender will go in, take a look at a mortgage, and they will recast the loan. They will restructure not only the interest rate but also the amount owed. Haley Fenwick in Wellington, New Zealand writes, I live in New Zealand. My friend lives in Virginia. She's 62. She's sick and tired of working, but able to retire because there's no money for her to retire. So they're looking to partner up, and she wants to know if she... Yes, Haley, you can absolutely share this with your friend if you guys are partnering up in a business venture. I have no problem with that. Okay, Pirot in Baltimore writes, are your programs cover the state of Maryland? Are they for all states or the state of Maryland? This will work in any state. Okay, Lynn in Omaha writes, Lynn, it's theshortsaleformula.com is the address, theshortsaleformula.com. Noel in Los Angeles writes, can I just bring in the short sale deals from realtors or investors and get paid without buying and selling the property myself? Noel, you could certainly do that, but then you'd need to be compensated by the realtors and the investors. So you'd have to figure out how you were going to get compensated. James in Pittsburgh, PA says, what about the HUD statement Ed talked about? James, we have that sent out to everybody. So that has been done. So everybody, I'm ending up. We've still got a bunch of questions here, but I'm going to save those for when Ed is on the line with us. So stay tuned, and we will be back with you shortly.